I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Yes, indeed. I am joined at last by Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've
been
gone
for
a while. Yeah, it was nothing we said, was it?
Just the way the schedule worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. You took a little time away.
Yep. We were down in Mexico visiting our friends Jan and Eric down there. And
I suppose you were, and they were listening to the show while you were gone?
Yeah, I'm sure they were. Oh. Actually, they do listen in sometimes. They have a little streaming issue sometimes.
Oh, okay.
They do listen in sometimes.
South of the border is different.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. It's good
to see you again. Yeah.
And as usual, you can ask Julie your question by phone or by text. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. In fact, I remember working with you. I can't remember which year it was because...
There's been so many.
There have been many. How many years? Is it eight? Oh,
8 years or yeah. something? 7, 8 years.
But it was around Christmas time.
Yeah.
I remember that. And don't ask me why. I just remember that and playing certain music. But besides that, we've cleared the lines and we're waiting for some phone calls and text messages. But is this the time of year? Do you get like green stuff for... a hostess gift, or when somebody comes to your house, do they bring you plants?
Oh, yeah. That happens year round. People bring flowers or they bring a plant, usually flowers. So they kind of figure I probably have the plants. So.
What's a good host or hostess gift
my gosh,
to bring?
There's so many good ones. To be honest, food is great. Oh. So fresh fruit, citrus. Citrus is always great this time of year. But I've, Christmas cactus, amaryllis bulbs. Arrangements, just general arrangements. You can buy a lot of those even at your local grocery store, has some nice ones. One of the things that people should check for, though, when they get greenery around this time of year and for their Christmas trees, too, not everything comes from Minnesota.
True.
You can go buy a Minnesota-grown tree, which is fantastic. You support a local grower. You're supporting our economy. And that's a wonderful thing to do. But the Minnesota Department of Ag has some recommendations for checking for pests on some of the greenery. For example, boxwood is a popular green. It's one of our broadleaf evergreens. It's beautiful. But it doesn't come from Minnesota. It comes from other states. And there are some diseases that can come in on that boxwood.
Well, I have not heard this.
That can then affect our native boxwood. So
okay.
The MDA, and we just put an article about this in our Yard and Garden News, which is at extension.umn.edu, and go to Yard and Garden. And there are the recommendations are to look over your greenery and look for things like spotty leaves and streaks on your boxwood. That may be indicative of boxwood blight. Look for egg masses, gypsy moth egg masses on your Christmas trees. They like to lay their eggs. They look kind of like about the size of a thumbprint or so, kind of a tan, fuzzy mass.
Hmm.
And those are gypsy moth eggs. And things like needle scale on the underside of firs, for example. So the reason that's important is because we tend to take our greens and chuck them out in the backyard or throw them in our compost or lay them in the back, someplace. And that those insects can possibly get onto our plants, our landscape plants. So it's important to take a look at that. And if you want to look at the pictures of those, you can go to our Yard and Garden News. And we've got all the information there that you can check it out.
And the website is?
extension.umn.edu.
And you guys, over the last couple of years or so, have really done an amazing job on that, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been a work in progress. And that's the important thing about a web page. You never want it to be static.
No.
You want it to be dynamic.
Especially, we've said it in shows past, this time of year, it's great reading.
It is great reading. And we continue to write the Yard and Garden News blog, which is timely information from all of us in horticulture, so that people are kind of up to date with things that we're seeing or things that might be of consideration. Jeff Hahn just also wrote about pests that can come in on Christmas trees, like aphids. Or, you can take a look at it. I'm drawing a blank.
All right. Well, we'll remind our listeners to do that before you take your leave today. 651-989-9226. If you have an Avalon or garden question for Julie, 651-989-9226. Text, we have that too. And by the way, again, the text number and the phone number, same number to use. What are, texter wants to know, some of your favorite catalogs to order veg seeds from?
Oh, my goodness. How many are there? I just got the Seed Savers catalog, which is out of Decorah, Iowa, and that's a great location for finding heirloom seeds or maybe some more unusual varieties that you haven't seen before. I like that one. I like looking at the pictures, too. Baker Seeds is another good one. Jung, Burpee, Gurney. There's a lot of very good seed catalogs that are out there. And also our local garden centers are going to be getting their seeds in here pretty soon, too. And so you can also just go to a local garden center and purchase
them there.
That's a good idea. You want to always look at the date on the seed packet and make sure that it's packaged for this year that you're buying it.
What happens if it's not?
Well, sometimes they may not germinate as well. Yeah, if they're old seeds. If you've saved seeds and you've saved them in a, you know, the junk drawer of your kitchen or something, they may have dried out and they may not be viable. So we do have a good seed starting or starting seeds webpage as well that explains a little bit about that and how you get good quality seed.
You know, you mentioned the word heirloom, and I know what that means, generally speaking. But what when you see the grocery store or wherever, the heirloom tomatoes.
Yeah.
What is an heirloom veggie?
So these are open pollinated vegetables. So they are not hybrids. And they're usually very old, hence their name, heirloom, very old seeds that have been collected and saved and then saved every year from plants and you know, propagated or replenished that way.
Like in the case of a tomato, does it taste different than...
It depends who you ask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some people might say, no, they taste the same. And some people might say, oh, there's nothing like an heirloom tomato. So, and I think actually when you grow your own heirloom tomatoes, and it's the same with any of the vegetables, they always seem to taste better, I think, because you put so much work into them.
Here we are talking about growing vegetables, and it's almost Christmas. But we do that.
That's okay. We're lucky in Minnesota because we have a lot of... we have a lot of opportunities to eat a lot of different vegetables and
fruits.
That's
true. And you have an opportunity to ask Julie your lawn or garden question. We haven't had a dormant seeding question yet today. 651-989-9226. That's the phone number. That's the text number. We welcome yours here on our Smart Garden Show on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Wise way to say Merry
Christmas. Yes, nothing says Christmas like Jimmy Buffett.
I love that song.
I remember playing that when you were on the air a few years ago during this time
of
year.
Many moons ago.
Yeah. And anyway, so I had to do that.
Our favorite movie in our house is Christmas Vacation, and that song is played in there.
Well, welcome back. You brought some warmer weather with you.
Well,
somewhat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Packed it right in my bag.
Good for you. Anyway, welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you can text it, and like a lot of people are doing, they've chosen the text method,
yes,
which is 651-989-9226. That happens to be the same number as the phone number. So if you want to call in and chat with Julie, do that, or send her a text as well. One came in. Let's see if I can find it. What is the most unique fruit you have ever eaten, and what did it taste like? We've never had a question like that.
I have never been asked that question. Well, we were talking about that, and I can't think of really a fruit, but I have been experimenting making bitters this year. And one of the ingredients that's very that's in the first kind that I made is hibiscus flower. So you can buy dried hibiscus flowers in, I think, mostly Latin grocery stores.
Mm.
So and co-ops also, I believe, carry it in bulk. You can order it online. And,
what do you do with that?
Well, you make like a tea out of it and then cool it down and then flavor it with, you can use honey or you can use like blue agave syrup or simple syrup. And it's very delicious and you can add sparkling water to it. It's a beautiful, hot, kind of a dark pink color. So it's very appropriate for this time of year for decorating and whatnot. And you can mix it. You can make a cocktail out of it, but it's really good to drink just with sparkling water in it.
Huh.
It's quite tasty.
Sounds refreshing.
Yeah. So it is very refreshing. So that's, that's one thing that I've tried lately that I really
But it's necessarily a fruit.
Not necessarily a fruit. A flower, not a fruit. Yeah. What about you? You travel a lot.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think what...
I tried some tiny bananas, and my friend Jan is very down in Mexico.
Those little ones you can buy in the store?
Yeah, you can buy them. I just saw them at Whole Foods, but you can buy them. Down in Mexico, we ate some of the very tiny bananas. And there are many more varieties of bananas than those that we get usually here in Minnesota. I can't remember the number. She would know that. But the tiny bananas... packed full of banana flavor.
I remember when my sister lived in Florida, they had a mango tree.
Oh,
I love
mango. I have a song about mangoes, you know.
Yes.
By my guitar, I'd sing it for you.
That's not unusual. I mean,
yeah.
It's good.
I like the yellow mangoes that come in the spring.
Uh-huh.
They're way better than the green and the red ones.
For some reason, we end up talking about food on this show. And that's
follows
okay.
The wine show. That's guess, fine.
Yeah, there you go. 651-989-9226. Tell you what, let's go to on the phones. Let's go to Mankato. I believe Terry's there. Terry, good morning. What can we do for you?
Well, hello. Merry Christmas.
Thank
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I had a cucumber question.
Okay.
My wife has got a small garden, and she picks up things, you know, at the garden store, a quality garden store. And she had the regular cucumbers.
Okay.
You know? Then she had these ones about the size of a softball. They're round as can be. But a lemon cucumber?
Yes. I've grown them.
And,
I've grown them, too.
Oh, okay. Well, this was by mistake, and we were both standing there in amazement, and so we tripped it off, and that is what the store that she bought the plants from told her, lemon cucumber. But only a couple of them seemed to grow very good. You know, the rest were kind of small. But at any rate, will they, like, grow, like, in the same soil as just, you know, regular cucumbers? You know, that do they need a different pH or something like that?
No, they will grow just like regular cucumbers. We did an, you know, the master gardeners in Minnesota do a seed trial. They've done it for, I think, boy, I want to say over 40 years now.
Mm.
82 was when they started. So do the math there. And one year we did pickling cucumbers, and the lemon cucumber was one that we tried out. And I grew those. I grew them in my backyard. We grew them on campus as well. And what I found about those is that they grew in regular soil, same conditions as a typical green cucumber, but they were a little bit seedier as they got older.
Mm.
But one of the nice things is they are about the size of a baseball when you pick them, and they're yellow on the outside. They slice and they will fit perfectly stacked into a wide mouth mason jar.
Mm.
So when you're canning them, you can just stack them right up and maybe alternate with some onion or something like that, and they make a really beautiful presentation, but they are a bit more seedy.
That's more seedy.
Thing. Yeah, more seedy. Okay. Seedier.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Terry leaves the line open, 651-989-9226. We had a seed a catalog question earlier, but the texter wants to know, what do you look for in a seed company?
Oh, well, I think that actually most of the seed companies out there, you're going to find good quality seed. I mean, they're in it for the long haul. A lot of them have been in business for many, many years. I'm mostly interested in unusual varieties of seeds. So I like to look for things that are maybe something I've never grown before or that a friend has told me about, maybe carrots that are purple instead of orange. Mm-hmm. Swiss chard that's multicolored stems instead of just red or white or yellow. So I like to try new things. I always try to try at least a few new plants, perennials and annuals as well, every year. So looking for unusual varieties. And you'll find, for example, there's an Italian seed company, and I'm trying to think of the name right now, but it sells very unusual things from Italy that we normally wouldn't be able to find here. We used that, some of their seeds when we were doing I think it was a dried bean trial, one of the seed trials as well.
All right.
Yeah, one of our volunteers suggested it.
Texter says, Julie, why do some buds fall from Christmas cactus? Some bloomed.
Well, so when plants are putting out flowers, they're putting a huge amount of energy into creating those buds and ultimately a bloom. So sometimes the plant simply can't support that many buds on the plant. So some of them will drop off. Sometimes they drop off because of drafts or a change in growing environment. If you've moved the plant some into a different kind of environment, maybe from a sunny window to a darker corner or to your kitchen table, for example, dining room table, you might lose some buds. If you've bought the plant recently and you bring it in, you've brought it in from the store, got in your car, out of your car, into your house, sometimes that change will also cause the plant to drop some buds. Sometimes they get dry and they just dry up and drop off. So there's a variety of those reasons that happen.
Okay. Tell you what, Julie, we have another half hour of the show to go. If you did not get your question answered, call it in or text it in. As I said, another half hour to go. 651-989-9226. That number also applies to your text question, 651-989-9226. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, helping you out today. By phone and by text, same number, 651-989-9226. I'll tell you what, Ann has been waiting there in Farmington to ask a question.
Go ahead,
Ann, and thank you, Ann. What's your question?
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
To all at WCCO. I was given a Christmas cactus, and it's healthy, and I guess from bringing it to the car, I was glad for the other caller. I had some little flowers on there, just little buds, and they did come off. But the plant is very healthy and green, and my question is, how often do I water Christmas cactus? Is it best just to sprinkle water on the top and or in the dirt? I'm not sure.
Okay. So one of the important things about Christmas cactus is to make sure that the pot is draining really well. A killer of Christmas cactus is soil that's too wet. And that doesn't drain. So if your Christmas cactus came in the foil wrapper, which is pretty common, you want to take the pot out of that foil wrapper and set it in the sink and then water it and allow it to drain. Make sure that the bottom of the pot has holes in it and that it's draining really well. And once it's all drained out, then put it back. You can put it back in the foil and set it back wherever you have it displayed. That's the most important thing. The killer of Christmas cactus is root rot, and that happens when we overwater the plants. And so just feeling the soil, you can tell that it's overly dry. Poke your fingers in it. Lifting the pot, if it's really, really light, then you can tell that it's probably too dry too. But the important thing is to make sure that that pot is draining well.
All right, we're good. Thank you, Ann. Hope that helps. That leaves the line open at 651-989-9226. Lots going on we should talk about.
Yes. So I had the pleasure of talking to Steve Vanetta, who's the landscape supervisor of the Arboretum, yesterday when I was out there. And he gave me some information on the Arboretum Winter Lights Display, which is happening now. And he told me that they wanted to do something very unique at the Arboretum that was different than other Christmas lights that you see. So they talked to one of their suppliers, and they have created actual light, two-dimensional light displays of Minnesota, University of Minnesota plant releases. So there's an azalea and there's a honeycrisp, and they also have written information in front of those displays so that you can learn about the plant that you're looking at the light display of. So,
what a neat idea.
So it's a little bit of education, horticulture education, as well as really enjoying that holiday spirit.
What a great,
it's very cool.
That is a neat idea.
Yeah. And our band will be playing there for New Year's Eve, and the winter lights will be going on.
That's your next gig now?
Next gig is the 27th at Billy's in Rockford, but we'll be at the Arboretum playing 7 till 10. They have a big event happening, things for kids to do. They're going to drop the ball every hour so that those little ones can get off and go to bed, you know, that kind of thing. So we will be there, the full band. So we're super excited about it.
That's
we
great.
Feel very honored to have been asked.
And what's neat, you know, you think about, some people think about the Arboretum like just in spring and summer, but there's year-round.
Hip-happening place.
All the time. All right, very good. 651-989-9226. A lot of text messages, too.
Great.
Are you familiar, text says, with the new variety of poinsettias called Princetia? I have bought two of them now and have not been able to keep them alive with a large one in a large pot. Hard to tell if it's dry or moist. Could it be the new variety, or what's the best way to care for those poinsettias?
Okay, well, we have an excellent web page on poinsettias and the care. And one of the things about poinsettias is they tend to, like the Christmas cactus, tend to get overwatered or underwatered. It's really difficult. You've got to keep them moist at all times. So really checking them every day is important, I think, especially in our houses are kind of dry right now. And so feeling the soil and those, stick your fingers down in the soil and feel that soil. And if it's dry, then you want to really put that plant into the sink and really allow it to drain well. Saturate that soil. Don't rely on just putting a little bit of water on it, but really make sure that you saturate that whole root ball and that it drains well out the bottom. And again, if it comes in a wrapper, a foil wrapper, or if it's in a decorative pot, take it out of that pot, you know, so that it's just in the plain plastic pot, and be sure that it drains well, and then you can put it back in the decorative pot.
All right, very good. Let's go back to the phones, Julie. Tom is calling from Crystal. Tom, what can we do for you?
Well, actually, you just answered my question. I have just got a poinsettia plant, and it's in the foil, and I was just wondering what I should do with that.
Yeah, the watering is the trickiest part of that. So just keeping it moist as best you can is the way to keep it looking good for the holidays.
All right, very good, Tom. Thanks. That was pretty good timing,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah.
Tom leaves the line open if you want to call in your question for Julie, 651-989-9226. Texter says, we have two big sunburst locust trees over 30 years old. Last spring, they had an unusually profuse year of dropping seed coats. Now in December, they have not finished dropping their leaves. Most of the leaves are still on the tree, now frozen and brown, and dropping down onto the snow very slowly. Is that a sign of any problem, do you think?
I don't think it's a sign of a problem. It's just probably the situation around the weather. Sometimes the plants just don't, or those leaves just don't completely harden off and drop off completely due to weather conditions. And this year, Mark Seeley published his Minnesota Weather Talk blog. He does that every Friday. It's a great one to subscribe to. I suggest everybody read about very, very interesting information. But he indicated that 2019 is the wettest year in Minnesota history statewide.
Yeah.
And with average precipitation being over 35 inches. That's a lot of, and that's snow and rain. So that's a combination. And so sometimes those types of conditions, the plant doesn't quite harden off. And so those leaves are retained on the plant. As far as the seed coats, sometimes environmental conditions will cause a plant to produce an excessive amount of seed. We call it masting, and you'll see it in acorns and seed coats or seeds like Texter mentioned. And that is just, again, environmental conditions and the plant reacting to those. So I wouldn't worry about them. But, you know, if you ever have a mature tree and there's a real concern about it, you can certainly call a certified arborist here in Minnesota. We are very fortunate to have a very strong population of educated and very informed people who can come out and advise you on those mature trees. They're super important to our environment and also to property values as well.
Very good. You're absolutely right. Let's go back to the phones. Ken is calling from Blaine, I believe. Ken, you're on with Julie.
Good morning. I have a question on the ornamental hollies that are usually around sale around this time of year. What's the care of those? I mean, do lighting and watering, and then also, would they be able to? Do they last long in the house if they're cared for well?
They should last in the house. One of the things with those is they have very large leaves, and so they can dry out quite a bit. So keeping them, again, like the poinsettia, is just keeping them moist, but being sure that they drain well when you water them is important. And that's kind of hard because they're so prickly that you got to get your hand in there to feel that soil. And also putting them in the brightest light window that you have. They are full sun plants. And so keeping them in a sunny window, a sliding glass door is great. If it's a larger plant or on a table there, that's wonderful. South exposure, eastern exposure, southwestern exposure is terrific. And then, again, keeping them moist. What you don't want to have is those big leaves drying out, because then they're going to start to curl and look kind of a dingy color. So keeping them moist, making sure they drain really well.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. 651-989-9226. Same number applies to your text messages, which we have many of. Regarding your discussion of saving heirloom seeds, can you save these seeds year after year, or do they, quote, wear out or change over time?
If seeds are stored properly, so they would be stored in a cool environment and not a moist environment, because you don't want them to mold, they can sometimes last for many, many years. But we do recommend that if you're planting year after year, that variety, that you keep resaving seeds every year, that you don't just keep them and keep them and keep them. Sometimes people will come across seeds that are very old and they're just fine. So, but they've been stored properly. Other times they've dried up and they're not viable anymore. One way that you can test seeds without waiting for the soil to warm up is you can do what's called a rag doll. We do this in plant propagation class. You wet a paper towel, set a few of the seeds from the packet out on that paper towel, fold it up, put it in a plastic bag, like a lunch bag or sandwich bag, and then just let it put it in a dry or a warm area and check it every day. And if the seeds put out a little bit of a root, then you know the seeds are viable and you can probably fairly confidently plant that packet of seeds.
More questions about Christmas cactus.
Of course.
Bloomed in November, texter says. What
yes.
can I do to get a December bloom next year? Thanks for your program.
These are plants that react to the shortening of daylight. And so locating it maybe in a brighter window when you if you have it outside, for example, during the summer and you bring it in, or putting it in the brightest window and then intentionally moving it to a little darker window might prompt it to bloom on time. It depends on your situation in your house. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the light that we have available. And that's one of the limiting factors of growing plants indoors is light. So that you might want to try that. Shifting the plant from a bright location to a darker location might prompt it to set bud at a more specific time. Good luck with that, though.
Very good.
But our website has a good publication on holiday cacti.
And the website is?
And it is extension.umn.edu. We have, of course, the Yard and Garden News, and there's an excellent article that our communication specialist, Gail Hudson, wrote on holiday plants. And we have a New Year's version coming out, or edition coming out, and you can subscribe to this. We put it out every 2 weeks. It's written by all of us in horticulture. And subscribe to it, and you'll be getting an alert then that kind of reminds you, shows you what's on the newsletter, and you can kind of stay up to date in all of the current things in horticulture.
Let's remind our listeners of that before you leave us today.
That would be great.
Neat idea. I know we have to break here momentarily. We have callers. Don't go away. We're going to get to you next. But the texter says, should I generally not be putting fertilized water on my houseplants?
If your houseplants are actively growing, if you see new leaves, if they're budded, if you see new branches growing, new green branches, then you should be fertilizing with about a half strength of an all-purpose household fertilizer. That's for most plants. Some plants, like African violets, have specific fertilizers designed for them, and you would want to use a half strength of that. We don't recommend the full strength because sometimes with these containers, they're smaller, and you can really, a lot of fertilizer salts can collect, and that actually can be detrimental to the plants.
Okay. All right. We have a quick break happening here. We'll be right back with more of the show on Smart Garden here on CCO. 651-989-9226. Call in or text Julie your question. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We're around here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is back with us today. We're glad to see her. It's been a while. And Julie, we're putting you back to work.
Awesome.
Callers and texters. Let's talk to Diane. Diane's calling from Maple Plain. What can we do for you, Diane?
Good morning. Thank you for answering my call.
Sure.
I have about 5 or 6 hibiscus shrubs that we bring in from the deck, and we overwinter them in our atrium. And they're all got buds, but all the buds are covered with little black bugs.
Oh, that's a drag.
What do I do?
The important thing is to find out what the bug is. It sounds like they might be an aphid or a mite or something, because you don't want to just randomly treat, kind of hoping that you hit on what it is, and then you're just applying pesticide needlessly. You could, depending on how motivated you are, is move them into the shower and wash them off. Try washing off the bugs and, give them a good blast. That way you could prune them. You might lose some of the buds, but they'll rebud, later in the month or so. So you can do a couple things like that. You can literally remove the bugs, or you can try to blast them with water and wash them off. The other thing, too, is if you can get a really good picture of the bugs, and that's difficult, you can send them to master gardeners who are staffing the Ask an Expert online help tool. And you can find that on our Extension Yard and Garden site at extension.umn.edu and go to Yard and Garden and go to Ask a Master Gardener. And they can maybe try to identify the insects. If they can't, they will get a hold of Jeff Hahn, who's our entomologist, and ask him for his help. But I'm guessing they're a mite or they're a type of aphid maybe. But I think you could probably blast them off with water. And be sure that you do all of them so that you're not moving those things around.
Good point.
Yeah, check under the sides of the leaves, too. They hide down there, too. But the aphids kind of, because they're on the buds, that makes me think they might be aphids.
All right. Good luck with that. We have one Diane. We go to another Diane in St. Paul. Good morning, Diane. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I have purchased a small planter with about 5 small cactus plants in it as a gift for someone.
Nice.
And I have, and it's from a reputable nursery, and I have conflicting information about how to water it.
Okay. So cactus, again, like the other houseplants you've talked about, you want to be sure that it's draining well. And the trick with cactus is not to overwater them. They really, really need to be dry. And they should have come with a label, though, or some instructions, maybe. That's too bad that they didn't. You could also contact if they're, you know, it depends on what the cactus is too. But you could contact the garden center or nursery where you purchased it and ask them. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe they told you that. But the trick with cactus is don't overwater them because they will really, then you get a serious root rot going on. I think sometimes people will, and maybe callers who are cactus aficionados can text in or their advice, but once a month maybe for cactus. And again, be sure that if you are watering, that there's, you know, good drainage in that pot, that the soil isn't going to be saturated.
Okay. Texter wants to know, what's the life cycle of an Asian ladybug that's showing up this winter in the house?
I don't know the exact life cycle. That would be something you could look on our insects page and find out. But, they just kind of sneak out of cracks. They come in from out of doors and then they'll hide under edging and trim and behind furniture. And then they'll reappear when the sun is strong in a window. And so as we move into longer days, which guess what we will, they're attracted to warm areas. So the best thing to do, if you ask Jeff, our entomologist, Jeff Hahn, is vacuum them up. That's
right.
The easiest way to get rid of them.
Here's another text, and we're going to try to grab as many as we can before we run out of time. Our yard is shady. The 2 serviceberry bushes never took off. Is it possible to dig them out and transplant them to a different location? If so, what?
Well, if I would try to transplant them. I've done that before. I have Regent serviceberry, and I had them growing in exactly what you're saying. Too shady, didn't flower, no fruit. And we lost a tree or took down a tree in our yard, and so I moved them into a sunnier spot. So, yes, you can move them.
Okay.
You just want to dig a big hole. Dig the hole first, then move the plants. And water, water, water when you're done.
We've had a few hibiscus questions today.
Okay.
Here's another one. I overwinter hibiscus bushes in our atrium. And maybe that's the question that she called
question,
in. She called
yeah.
out. She's double
sounds
dipping
like,
today.
Sounds like it. Nice to have an atrium, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I should say.
It's pretty cool.
But that question has been answered.
Okay.
On the phone, I believe. Would you please talk about, what does that say there, Julie?
Non-peat seed starting mixes.
I read somewhere
non-peat.
They can be buggy.
Okay. Well, a seed starting mix is something that actually doesn't have any soil in it, a soilless mix. And so a lot of them will have peat in them. I have never experienced one that has bugs in it. Sometimes seed starting mixes or soil mixes get stored outdoors and they can bring in insects. So I would go to a reputable local garden center that you trust, and I would purchase new seed starting mix that was fresh, unopened, and stored indoors. And I would ask them that. And but sometimes we store our stuff outside, and then we use it from year to year. And sometimes you can get insects that way.
All right, texter wants to know, what was that website that Mark Seely does?
It's called Minnesota Weather Talk, and you can Google that, and it's a great, great blog. He writes it every Friday.
Now, what else were we going to remind our listeners? You mentioned that.
We were going to remind people about the Yard and Garden News, that you can subscribe to that. We have an exciting New Year's edition coming out. We have recommendations for gifts. I put in my recommendation, which I'm a real fan of pruners and things that cut. and so we have Mary wrote about gloves, and we have fruit recommendations from Annie Claude, who's our fruit horticulture person, educator, extension educator. And so you can subscribe to that, and that might be your New Year's resolution, is to subscribe to the Yard and Garden News, because then every 2 weeks you'll get an email and you'll find out what is going on in horticulture that we're seeing from extension standpoint.
You know, we have about 60 seconds to go. Can you talk us through the procedure of doing that very thing?
Sure. You go to extension.umn.edu. That's our website. Go to Yard and Garden under Connect. And then the very first thing you see is read Yard and Garden News. Click on that, and there's a subscribe button on that. And just put in your email.
And tell us again where the Abiders are having their next gig.
We are playing Friday, December 27th at Billy's in Rockford. And we will be at the New Year's Eve bash at the Arboretum. The event starts at 5 o'clock. There's kid-friendly stuff, adult-friendly stuff going on, and the winter lights display of university releases in light form. Super cool.
I'd like to see that.
Great educational, plus super beautiful out on the landscape. And then we are playing from 7 till 10.
Excellent. Julie, Merry Christmas
Merry
to you
Christmas
guys.
Merry Christmas to you. I'll see you in January.
And is Teresa back next week?
Teresa's back next week, all and right. Then I'll be back in January.
You have a great holiday.
You too.
Thank you. Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.